Since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by DraftKings, and welcome to Training Camp. Training Camp 2021, kicking off with our annual Camp Battle episode. We'll be going through the edge group, tight end, which actually was the tightest race, inside linebacker two, nickel corner, and hell, we're even going to touch up on the fullback race. Justin, Training Camp is here. It's the most exciting time of the year. How are you?
Hey, Bobby Skinner. PPP started yesterday, so go check him out if you haven't checked him out. It's three times a week, we're going to be doing some player profile and projections, and two times a week, regular episodes. And this is an episode that's exciting. Camp battles? I mean, what do we have? How many camp battles do we have? Five, six, and these are five of the six most intense camp battles. And what we mean by camp battles, by the way, because I think some people are getting confused, it's not like Darnay Holmes versus Kenny Galladay. It's position battles. Like, it's camp battles, position battles. So I know everybody's excited to see Aziz Ojulari and Andrew Thomas go against each other. But that's not what we're really talking about analyzing this episode. Bobby Skinner, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited for training camp. I'm excited for the show. I mean, like, you know, we're going to have a ton of interviews. Arch Stapleton will kick it off on Friday. You know, we're going to have Dan Duggan, you know, Zach Rosenblatt, Patricia Traina, Jordan Renan, Dan Benton, even Barstool Clem will come on at some point. So excited for that. And before we get into the position battles, we have an announcement for FanFest. I mean, we've been kind of teasing it, but we are doing an event. We are doing an event for FanFest. Us two will be there. Danny King will be there. License Plate Guy will be there. Christian Atano will be there. So we're going to be doing some type of show there. I don't know if it's going to be able to like be broadcast loud to where everyone can hear, but we'll be doing some type of show. We're going to have getting 100 burgers, 100 hot dogs, and buns. How about that? And I'll bring condiments and all that stuff. So we're going to be providing food for people. What I do need from one of the listeners, though, is someone with a big grill to show up and cook for us, and I'll make it worth your while. That's what we don't have right now, and you know, we won't be able to spend time on the grill. You don't want me on the grill anyway, so we'll have that.
No, you don't.
We're going to have giveaways. We have a, you know, I just ordered a ton of stickers, so we'll be giving those away. It's going to be a good old time. Bring your own booze. And we're going to meet up at some type of bar afterwards. I know there's a place called Red's, but I think it might be a little restaurant. I don't know. We're going to meet up at some type of bar afterwards. So I'm really excited for that. We're going to be there as soon as the gates open at 3 o'clock. Come by, hang out, have some food, have a beer, say hi.
Need somebody with big buns. Need someone with a big grill. And that's what we need.
Well, yeah, I'm bringing the buns, but we could
use you're bringing
some
the
big buns.
You got the big buns?
Too.
I mean, I already have some big buns. I'm bringing those with me, too. I got two of them. Yeah, exciting event. Christiana Tana, LPG, they're going to be with us. We're going to be, I think the plan is to record something. I don't know if we're going to be live streaming. Like you said, don't think we will be. Yeah, we're going to record something, put it out on the podcast app the next day. So even if you can't join us, I guess we'll have a PPP like in the morning or, you know, very late at night. And then at noon, you know, if you want to hear that kind of quote unquote live show that we do that will be recorded, you can hear it on the podcast app too, and we'll put it out on YouTube too.
Yeah,
so thank you for those guys for wanting to do stuff with us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to meet people because it's been, you know, I know I've been doing this since 2018, but you know, 2019 I started to kind of get the hang of it, but still didn't know anybody or wasn't really, you know, talking. I wasn't really part of Talking Giants, so excited to actually meet Giants fans. And we were talking about how excited we are to meet Giants fans and everything like that. So, but that's the formal
parking lot location.
Parking lot G.
Parking lot, yes. G. Parking lot G. G for gangsters, and that's what we all are. I'm excited to meet people. I'm really counting down the days to be up there and do this. So please come out, hang out. You know, if you don't have tickets, we've been tweeting out people that need tickets, and I think they've been able to get that resolved. I'm not sure. I'm not handling them personally. But yeah, like I said, we're going to have, you know, and we'll probably have some good music playing too. Maybe we'll figure out some type of way to do all that. But we'll be having fun, and, you know, if you want to be obnoxious while we're recording, come yell right in our faces. Come yell right in Justin's face, and you'll be on the podcast.
Please do.
You're gonna regret saying that, even though I'm the one who said it. All right. Oh, and you know who some of the people that are gonna be there, Justin?
Give me some names.
Well, let's give you a few names of some people who might just be there. Well, Justin Martellini.
Mm.
He's going to be there with his weird-ass first name. Anthony Cassavine.
Hey, hold on. Before you go, Justin is a bodybuilder on Instagram, and he has a very good Instagram page, so go check him out.
Anthony Cavicini. Do you know him?
Mm.
Tony?
Very Italian so far. I love
and
it.
And then George Forrest. He feels like he just has like hairy knuckles or something. George Forrest.
Yeah.
Who are these people that will be hanging out with us?
George Forrest, probably not a part of the Italian Patreon gang. So patreon.com/talkinggiants. You have to hang out with us for the live shows, and maybe we'll give you some sneak previews of you know, when we have some interviews, because we won't be live for that. But live shows, access to live shows twice a week, three times a week during the regular season, the full shows, and shirt giveaway. Bobby's currently doing a shirt giveaway right now from the TG store. We just put up a new shirt, Jersey Boys. And Bobby sends you a free magnet as well. So patreon.com/talkinggiants, a lot of fun perks. Big community there. Come join us.
For sure. All right, before we get into the position battles, one little housekeeping note. The Bengals claimed Lamont Gaillard. It's G-A-I-L-L-A-R-D. I don't want to say Gaillard. Gaylord.
Sure.
Was also mm-hmm. claimed. He was claimed off waivers from the Cardinals. The Giants also put in a claim on him. Now, the Bengals were ahead in the picking order because, you know, they had a worse record in 2020. But pretty interesting. You know, there's been a lot of guys who have been waived this offseason. Giants haven't put claims on anybody besides this guy. It was a 2019 six-round pick out of Georgia. How about that? They love their Bulldogs. Rob Sale was his offensive line coach in 2015 at Georgia. And Jonathan Harrison's on the pup list, who, you know, he is our backup center. And again, we can't really have any real takes off the pup list until we see these guys missing practices, you know. But interesting that, you know what, maybe the Giants aren't just quite done adding some, you know, little pieces on the offensive line.
Yeah, especially a tackle. I mean, you know, center. I think is Chad Slade a tackle? Yes,
guard,
technically.
Guard tackle.
He's a guard tackle. But, you know, really the three main tackles that realistically have seen NFL playing time are more likely to see playing time, Andrew Thomas, Matt Parrott, and Nate Solder. And those are like really, I guess maybe you would want four tackles on your offensive line, maybe. So tackle depth, at least at the beginning of camp, I guess is a little thin in terms of the depth chart. But wouldn't surprise me to see somebody, the Giants add somebody down the line who is a guard slash tackle or is solely a tackle, just to be a camp body.
Yeah, it just kind of an interesting note. I figured we'd mention that on the show. Because it happened Friday afternoon, and it seemed like no one even realized it. I was like, oh, wow, this was Rob Sale coach's guy. All right, let's get into the position battles. We're going to start off with the edge group. And we're doing outside linebacker one and two. I mean, it's a wide-open battle right now. And the poll that we put up for Twitter, we put Azeez Ojulari, Lorenzo Carter, Ifedi Odenigbo, and O'Shane Ziminis. O'Shane Ziminis got 4% of the vote. Ifedi got 6%. Lorenzo Carter got 32%. And then Azeez got 58%. I thought Lorenzo Carter was going to win this. And then on Instagram, we did Azeez got 73% and Carter got 27%.
Wow.
Yeah, which is interesting. So the people clearly want Azeez to be edge one. I will say Instagram differently from Twitter had O'Shane ahead of Ifedi. And even in that battle, he between him and Lorenzo I'll save that. That's for edge linebacker too. But Instagram likes O'Shane more than Twitter does. Justin, I'm going Lorenzo Carter. Lorenzo Carter is my guy for edge one. And, you know, we glossed over this on Friday. We didn't, or not even glossed over. Like, I didn't even think about it because we were so caught up in the guys who were on the pup list. The guy who wasn't on the pup list coming off of torn Achilles was Lorenzo Carter. A full participant in all the OTAs. Like, that's kind of amazing coming off of a torn Achilles. You know, and he was injured 3 weeks later than Saquon was. I know Saquon's injury was a lot more severe, but still. And he, like the player picked, does everything. And that is important for Patrick Graham. You know, he rushes the passer, plays the run well, drops in the coverage. Like, he's a do-it-all type of outside linebacker. And you know what? He was playing good before he got injured. Like, he was very clearly the number one before he got injured. And I'm not putting that you're going to be the top guy from day one pressure on Azeez right now.
No. And we're both very similarly thinking in terms of the expectations for Aziz. And I'm probably more conservative with, honestly, both of these top two-round rookies. I'm probably going to put more expectation on a third-round pick than the first two rounds, if we're kind of being honest. But yeah, Lorenzo Carter, I mean, I'm going to steal a bunch of Research Rick tweets and work that he did right now and throughout this outside linebacker edge discussion. And Lorenzo Carter played 85% of the snaps. And really, Bobby, what it boils down to is how often the Giants use three linebacker sets versus four linebacker sets. And I'm sure they're going to alternate between using other sets as well, maybe four defensive linemen, four linebackers, whatever. But, you know, those are the sets that they're mostly going to run out of. So in three linebacker groups, Lorenzo Carter got 97% of the snaps. So that's basically two interior linebackers, most likely two interior linebackers with an edge rusher on the end. He got 97% of those snaps. Four linebacker groups where maybe there's an edge rusher on the opposite side of him, and then there's two interior linebackers, he got 75% of the snaps. So he was getting, you know, most of the packages that the Giants are running. Lorenzo Carter was out on the football field, and he really is that two-way player that you were talking about, you know, who is versatile. He can go back into coverage, et cetera, et cetera. So Lorenzo Carter, I think, is the clear number one, where even if it's snap share, even if it takes a little bit of a step down because there's more guys that they want to get out there, slash he's coming off from injury, what, does it drop down to 70% where he's getting 70% of the snaps? And that's still going to be, I think, the most out of the entire group.
Yeah, he was very clearly the edge one. When he was healthy last year. That included Marcus Golden, who was a better pass rusher than him, coming off of a 10-sack season. You know, in those first four games, he averaged 18 more snaps than the second outside linebacker. And that player, you know, rotated from game to game. You know, week one, it was Marcus Golden. Week two, it was Kyler Fackrell. Week three, it was O'Shane Zimenez. O'Shane got a lot of time, garbage time versus San Fran. Their snaps were pretty close that game. But he was just very clearly the number one. And let's look at the rest of the room. You got a rookie in Aziz Ojulari, Efetti, who doesn't drop back in the coverage at all. O'Shane Zimenez, who, you know, we don't know what to think is going to happen from him this year, but I definitely want to pit him coming off of an injury ahead of Lorenzo. So for me, Lorenzo will be the clear number one. I would love to see Aziz surpass that this year, and I think eventually he will, you know, like long term, Aziz should be the better player. But to start off the way coaches are with easing rookies in, Lorenzo Carter is my edge one for camp.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is where the conversation gets interesting is edge two.
Well, let's do it. Edge two. Twitter, Lorenzo Carter got 71%. So, you know, they picked Aziz. Efetti got 16%. O'Shane got 13%. And then on Instagram, Lorenzo got 68% and O'Shane got 32%. It's kind of a weird situation where we already talked about Lorenzo. Who are you going with outside linebacker too?
I'm going with the Efetti.
Yeah?
Yeah, and you want to know why? It's because of the breakdown. Again, I wanted to look at the breakdown between how often the Giants run three linebacker sets versus four linebacker sets. And right now, I'm thinking in my brain that Aziz Ojulari is going to be used primarily as a pass rusher, as a situational pass rusher, you know, and I'm saying this as an I don't know. I don't know if Aziz Ojulari has the NFL strength yet at 20 years old to be playing the run successfully. I do know that Efetti Odenigbo, who, you know, typically we think of as like, we thought of him as an interior defensive lineman coming in, and then it was proved very early on that they're like, no, we're going to use him as an edge rusher. So I think that he is the edge rusher that is kind of second best at possibly playing the run. He's a bigger body. And if I'm thinking of a guy that is more, you know, who is going to be the edge rusher that is more likely to get, that's going to be out there in a three linebacker set. So that's three interior defensive linemen, one edge rusher, and two interior linebackers. I think Efetti is going to get more of those snaps as an experienced veteran versus Aziz Ojulari, where I see him out there in four linebacker sets where you have two edge rushers and then you're just telling him to go to work. Later downs, passing downs.
Yeah, I'm going Aziz. I am going Aziz. Just, and a lot of it's just like he's the prototypical outside linebacker for Patrick Graham. Like, I like Efetti. He's the top sack getter out of this group, but he had two coverage snaps last year. Two. Like, he has no experience with coverage, and he'll be asked to do more. But you know what? Aziz is already comfortable in them. They obviously, you know, Aziz had first round buzz. The Giants, like, he was the perfect, like, when you, people said the Giants need an edge rusher and you said, well, who's the fit for that? Aziz Ojulari was always the answer for that. We were worried they were going to, you know, they would think about, you know, forcing him at pick 11 when they were up there. Like, you know, that was my worries. Like, I hope they don't pick Aziz at 11. Like, I'm going to be really disappointed in that. And they got him at 50. So he is that prototypical outside linebacker. And he's, you know, he's the best athlete of the group. Like, he's a better athlete than everybody on this group. You know, he can bend that edge around other guys. And he does things that the other guys don't. He seems like a smart player too. Like, even going back to the Alabama game, the way he, you know, absorbed pulling guards and pulling tackles and spilling that. And you know what? The Giants trusted some rookie outside linebackers towards the end of last season with Carter Coughlin, you know, so maybe that eases them into being like, you know what? We can throw this guy out there and let him learn.
But Bobby, they also did that because they didn't have any other choice.
Right, but sometimes not having a choice forces you to be open to different ideas of playing younger players.
Well, right, because they had no other choice.
And Carter Coughlin was, you know, drafted in the 7th round, where Aziz was drafted in the 2nd, and a lot of people thought he should have went higher. I thought he was drafted right around the same spot. So, and again, Ifedi and O'Shane, they don't drop in the coverage, and we saw how important that is for Patrick Graham. Not even necessarily for their great coverage skills. It's just more of like, hey, we need the offense to be guessing what they're doing.
And
O'Shane's not that great of a run defender. Ifedi's bigger, but like, that was kind of one of my critiques of him. It's like, he's not great versus the run. He's more of a situational pass rusher.
Right. Right. But it's a matter of, is Ifedi going to be better against the run than Aziz Ojulari to start his career? So I'll even ask you that question, because my answer is Ifedi. So who do you think is going to be better to start, you know, at the start of 2021, who's going to be better against the run, in your opinion?
It's hard to tell because Ifedi's always been, you know, hand on the ground. I'll give Odenebo the slight edge to start, since, you know, we haven't seen Aziz play against NFL guys. You know, I've seen Evan Neal move him off the ball a few times, so. I've seen Aziz get moved off the ball a few times. I'll give Odenebo the edge early on, but I give Aziz the edge as a pass rusher, and then in coverage, just, you can't even compare them because Fetty's never done it.
Yeah, and the coverage snaps. I mean, I always love your point about the coverage, and you always remind me and you ground me about, you know, hey, you know, it's not just about the coverage snaps that you take about dropping back into coverage, but it's also the illusion that you might do it. You know, but really what it boils down to, out of, you know, I guess it is a decent amount. I guess it's a lot, you know, out of the 60 some snaps to high 50s that Lorenzo Carter kind of took to start the year last year, there were 12 snaps, 9 snaps, and 7 and 7 snaps that he took in coverage, which I guess that's a decent amount. That's a decent amount of snaps that you can take in coverage. So if you put somebody on the field that has that ability to, hey, you know, 1/6 out of the time, this guy can drop back into coverage and he can do it well, that is a valuable weapon. Or he's going to come bad out of hell and try to get to the quarterback, get to the running back, ball carrier, whoever. So, I see your points.
No love for O'Shane.
No, you know, he's been the guy that, he's like my surprise cut this year. And here's part of the reason why. So again, research Rick, you know, Tim talking about 3 linebacker sets versus 4 linebacker sets. O'Shane played 45% of all snaps until he got hurt. Only 8% in 3 linebacker groups. 92% of the snaps came in 4 linebacker groups. So, I mean, that's passing downs, right? You know, 2 linebacker groups is 2 edge rushers, 2 interior linebackers. So that's a huge disparity. And I think there's writing on the wall of this coaching staff kind of fading O'Shane, and I think that's going to continue.
I'm still an O'Shane believer, even though I didn't make him one of my top 2 guys. I do agree with Instagram. I'd rather have O'Shane over Ifedi. How about that? But we're not talking about edge 3. We did our edge depth chart thing last week.
All right, one more final question before we move on, though. Are people crazy for putting Aziz number 1? Because that is the consensus across Instagram and Twitter. Are people crazy for putting Aziz number 1, and are people kind of expecting too much?
I think people are always expecting too much with rookies, but I don't think it's not crazy, because Lorenzo is coming off an injury as well, is coming off a torn Achilles. you know? Yeah. And like I said, he was playing good, but he wasn't like, you know, he wasn't a world beater out there. You know, like he was playing okay. He was playing above average. He wasn't, you know, a top outside linebacker. And, you know, a lot of people viewed Aziz as a first round edge player and the Giants, you know, desperately needing edge players. So, yeah, I'm very confident of having Aziz over the other two. I'm giving Lorenzo the edge right away. And especially if you're talking like long term for this year, like maybe not even necessarily week one, but like week five. No, I don't think it's crazy. I do think, you know, like any rookie, there's always higher expectations than reality. Yeah. You know, like Ellerson Smith could play like 5% of the snaps this year, where some people think he'll come in and play right away and you know, be playing 5 third down reps a game or something.
Yep.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but also America's top-rated sportsbook. Speaking of America, our top athletes are over in Tokyo competing for the gold, and DraftKings has a medal-worthy offer for just my listeners. Listen to this great offer. Place any pre-event wager of $1 to be eligible to cash $100 in free credits if America wins any medals this year. So I think they've already won some medals.
Yes, yeah, swimming. I think swimming is about to get ready to sweep everything. It's awesome. Surfing. Surfing's a new sport. There's like a storm out there in Japan right now.
You know, so the greatest surfer of all time? You know where he? You know who? Do you know who his name is? You should know this.
I do not.
Kelly Slater. How do you know? So when I say Kelly Slater, are you reminded?
No. I feel like we've talked about this
before. Because he's from where I live.
Oh.
Which, by the way, did you see that article I posted where it's like Coco PD is going to have a new policy when it comes to leaving their vehicles unlocked because people were stealing their cop cars?
Well, what was the solution?
Lock the doors.
Oh, sure. Okay.
So I just thought that one was pretty funny.
Bet on USA Surfing, DraftKings.
Yes. That's 101 odds on any American athlete to stand on the podium and receive gold, silver, or bronze this week. 100-1 odds on an offer like this doesn't come around often. So sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook now to get in all the action. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It's easy to navigate, has plenty of instructions for new bettors, and nearly limitless ways to get in on all the action. My friends and family have been loving DraftKings Sportsbook, and now you will too. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code JOHNBOY when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 and free credits if America wins a medal. That's code JOHNBOY to turn $1 into $100 in free credits for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. All right, Justin. Next on the list, nickel cornerback. Now, this was when the draft happened. This was a very like, ooh, what are the Giants going to do at nickel corner? But I think as we've gotten closer to this season, it's like, you know what? Put some respect on Darnay Holmes' name. Instagram gave Darnay Holmes 84% compared to Aaron Robinson 60% of the vote. And then Twitter gave Darnay 82% and Aaron Robinson 18%. So the fan base as a whole is very clear in the Darnay Holmes camp. Are you as well?
Yes, but it's not as dramatic as that. Because really, I think this position battle boils down to how ready is Aaron Robinson? How ready is Aaron Robinson to kind of rock and roll? And what direction does Patrick Graham want to take this defense? If Patrick Graham does want to take this defense into a more man, press man, heavy blitzing defense this year, like he kind of did in Miami, then I'm not going to give like a clear edge to Aaron Robinson, but that it's going to be closer in terms of snap share in a battle. It's going to be closer of a battle than the Instagram and Twitter polls. But also, there's something that I'm thinking in the back of my mind, thinking it today, and looking at all the Darnay Holmes numbers, and I made some graphics and stuff like that, and it's like, well, why can't Darnay Holmes play a little bit more press man? Why can't he play more man coverage? You know, I know he's not the most physical guy, but because of his quickness and his recoverability, why can't he play press man? And thinking of like the biggest highlight-worthy play of Darnay Holmes' 2020 season was the pass deflection he had against CeeDee Lamb. That's man coverage. So why can't he do more of it?
Yeah, I just think, one, just because Darnay Holmes did all right as a rookie doesn't mean Aaron Robinson is going to. Like, let's remember how tough a position this is to play as a rookie. And I think this battle might have been a little more intriguing than Edge. It's because Edge, like, those guys are, like, that's truly a rotational position. Corner usually isn't. You know, so I'm sure they'll split a little bit of healthy. I know people are like, well, you know, against certain teams that Aaron Robinson will play and other teams, Darnay Holmes. But I don't know if they'll go full on like, hey, this game is yours, this game is yours. Like, whoever wins this battle is going to be playing a clear, bigger role than the other, you know, where Aziz, you know, Efetti might, you know, technically be the number two edge, but him and Aziz could be playing the same, you know, amount of snaps. I mean, we talked about it with Lorenzo. You know, the second most reps at that spot was a different player the first 3 weeks of the season. This one is very clearly someone's going to win this job. I know Aaron Robinson has the man coverage ability, but again, Darnay can play a little man coverage. You know, he didn't get killed in man. He didn't get put in that situation a ton, but like when he did get asked to do it, he did an all right job. And I don't think we're going to go from being the team that plays the most zone to like, all right, we are playing man coverage 70% of the time. Like, I think there will be more third down reps, but I'm very clear. Like, I think this is Darnay's job. But at the same time, on the other side, they didn't trade up in the third round and draft Aaron Robinson for no reason. They clearly have some type of plans for him. Maybe it's not right away, but they clearly do have some type of plans of him. And they don't view there's no way they view Darnay as like, oh, he is our clear-cut nickel corner for the next 5 years. Like, they don't trade up for Aaron Robinson if they view him like there's no doubt in their mind about Darnay.
No, and you know, and Aaron Robinson is, he is more physical. He's a bigger guy. And, you know, we gave Darnay Holmes credit for being physical for his size. But, you know, let's face it, he had a high missed tackle rate for a reason. And Aaron Robinson, what you're hoping that he could be a little bit more like, you know, Grant Haley, except maybe actually, Bobby, that may not be a bad player comp, because I know Aaron Robinson's ball skills is kind of a little bit limited right now, but he's physical and he's able to come up in the run game and make some plays. And I think that is something that the Giants value having, especially since your slot corner, you know, sometimes he is playing in the box. Sometimes he is like maybe shadowing or covering a tight end, you know, based off of whatever personnel the offense is running. And then if you're in that personnel defense wise, you know, so I think Aaron Robinson is going to get his time, but I think this battle is largely dictated on how fast Aaron Robinson can start. If Aaron Robinson is really rocking and rolling to kind of start the year and they feel confident, Aaron Robinson's going to get a lot more snaps than people think. But I still do think Darnay Holmes is going to get the majority of the snaps just because he did perform really well last year.
Do you think Aaron Robinson gets 10 snaps week one?
Depends who's the slot wide receiver. I really do think it is going to depend on who the slot wide receiver is that week. Who's the slot wide receiver for the Broncos?
Is physical Judy wide receiver or outside? But yeah, say it's Rob Gronkowski.
Sure,
I don't think Aaron Robinson gets 10 snaps week one on defense.
I'm gonna say he does 10 snaps. That's not a lot. You're taking 60. You know, there's a total of 60, 70 snaps a game. So, yes, I think he gets 10 snaps.
I don't think he does. We're going to have to revisit this one. So far we have my top edge guys are Lorenzo and Aziz. You have Lorenzo and Efetti. And then both nickel, we're going Darnay Holmes official, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So we agree with the listeners on that one. All right, this next one is super interesting and probably the most controversial. It's the one I have the most notes on. Tight end, and I said most reps, because that's more important than starter for this position. Twitter, this was the closest one. Evan Engram got 53%. Kyle Rudolph got 47%. Instagram, Evan Engram got 56%. Kyle Rudolph got 44%. I'm going Kyle Rudolph, man.
Ooh.
And it's not simply just, oh, Evan Engram drop ball, Evan Engram bad. Like, it's not simply just, you know, mad that he lost games for us. Kyle Rudolph can be is valuable on every part of the field, on every situation. Evan Engram's not. Evan Engram's not a good run blocker. Kyle Rudolph is. He's not, you know, paving the way but he's a good, competent run blocker. Evan Engram's not that. In the red zone, Evan Engram's not a threat in the red zone. Okay? Kyle Rudolph is one of the best red zone threats in the league. He has 48 career touchdowns. Engram has 13. In the last 4 years, you know, Ingram, Rudolph has 19, Ingram has 13, and they both only had one last year. Even just last year, Kyle Rudolph with Irv Smith was getting 71% of the snaps before he got injured those last four games, while Irv Smith was getting 61%. So I see them both evening up, like playing very close. And, you know, the Twitter polls show that I do think their snaps are going to be very close. But I think Kyle Rudolph is going to win that battle because he's just valuable all over the field. And as a receiver, he can run routes, you know, make the right reads, make smart decisions. He's not going to give you the vertical threat that Evan Ingram is, but I'm not saying that you bench Evan Ingram. Evan Ingram can still be used without having to play the majority of the reps, and maybe that'll even be better for him. But again, Rudolph does more things good than Evan Ingram does, where Evan Ingram's, like, his speed is really his only asset, where, you know, Rudolph has the run blocking. He has the red zone. He is the red zone threat. You know, he can run the short concepts, the stick and, like, can do all those little things. And even looking at last year, let's bring up some numbers. Rudolph had an 18% higher catch rate, which means a catch rate than Evan Ingram. Let's see, other numbers. Ingram had 13 more yards per game in 2020, where Evan Ingram was the focal point of the offense. Kyle Rudolph was not the focal point of the Vikings offense. Evan Ingram only had 13 more yards. And Rudolph had a yard and a half more yards per catch in a split system with Irv Smith, who is supposed to be the athletic guy getting the big plays. So even that, like, Kyle Rudolph was getting more yards per catch. So this isn't like, get Evan Ingram off my team, even though I would like them to be traded for some value in his last year of his contract in the offseason, since they have Rudolph, since they have a guy like Caden Smith, and then they gave Levine Toilolo some guaranteed money. So this isn't like, I hate Evan Ingram. But it's Kyle Rudolph does more for this team, more things than Evan Ingram. And the things that Evan Ingram do well, you don't need to take Kyle Rudolph off the field for him to do those.
I agree with you, and I'm hoping you're right. But I am still going to go with Evan Ingram. But on your Kyle Rudolph point, I think Rudolph's a better route runner than Evan Ingram. Evan Ingram's just fast.
Yeah. But speed does come into play with route running too. But yeah, I know, I agree with you where he's like, if you just look at the art of route running, yes, Rudolph is better.
Yeah, I mean, smart, instinctual, just, you know, finding spaces. And I mean, that's what these bigger, slower tight ends have to do. You know, and I'm not comparing Kyle Rudolph to the top tight ends in the league, but, you know, I've always wondered, like, you know, how does a guy like Gronk and Kittle, how are they slow as hell? And they just get open, and there's like 5 yards of separation, and they're running these short little routes where they do have somebody right on top of them. You know, it is because they're a little shifty, and they run their routes pretty well. So, yeah, Bobby, I'm rooting for it. I'm rooting for you to be right, but I don't see a world where Evan Ingram is not getting the most snaps at tight end. I don't see that world. I don't see that world. I still do think they want to prioritize getting Evan Ingram the ball in whatever facet, shape, way, or form that is, whether they want to keep on forcing the shorter stuff because they were still doing it a little bit towards the latter end of last year, or they want to run more vertical stuff with him. If there was a time to really reduce the snap share of Evan Ingram, it was last year when he was the most harmful target to throw to. And they really didn't. And they had a guy like Caden Smith on the team who they could have given more useful snaps to because there was a precedent that Caden Smith did well with Daniel Jones, and they just didn't. They continued to not do it. So I think Evan Ingram's contract year, and he's going to get more snaps. And I think even if you're right and Ingram gets less snaps than Kyle Rudolph and less playing time, I still think Ingram's catches and yards are going to be higher than Rudolph. That doesn't mean Rudolph's going to have a bad year. I just think Ingram's going to, no matter what, going to stuff the stat sheet a little bit more than Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, I could see him having more yards. The only thing that's making me second my guess my decision is Kyle Rudolph's injury. That's the only thing that is making me question, as second guess, is Kyle Rudolph's injury. But you know what? Evan Ingram's been more injury prone than Kyle Rudolph has. Kyle Rudolph has had basically one injury. He played all the games before that. Who would you rather have in the red zone? Darius Slayton, Kenny Golladay, and Sterling Shepard as your wide receivers. Would you rather have Kyle Rudolph and Evan Ingram? Or Kyle Rudolph and Saquon Barkley, or Evan Ingram and Saquon Barkley. I'd rather have Kyle Rudolph and Saquon Barkley in the red zone.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, Kyle Rudolph has really taken a step down production-wise. You know, I'm not gonna sit here and say that Kyle Rudolph has taken a step down as a player totally from a couple years ago, because his fall from being one of the league's best tight ends, a top 10 tight end in the National Football League, to whatever he is right now, it has been kind of strange, because I don't think he's really gone down as a player, but his production has gone down. But still, he is still one of the best red zone threats in the league. Like, that's not there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, that's not going away. And, you know, Jason Garrett, Jason Witten stuff, like, I don't think that's totally fake either. But, I mean, both these guys are going to be used a ton when healthy, though, too. You know, so yes. It's like we kind of might be splitting hairs here a little bit. All right, here's one that I'm really excited for this one, because I think this might be the most open battle. Like, I think they kind of have a good feeling of what they want with their edge groups. Nickel corner, I think they know what they want. Even, you know, Evan Ingram, Kyle Rudolph. Like, I think they have a very clear, like, I don't think that's much of a camp battle. That's more of a decision. I think they probably know what they want. Inside linebacker, too, I think this is wide open. Next to Blake Martinez, Twitter gave Tate Crowder 62% of the vote, Reggie Ragland 24%. We threw Carter Coughlin in there, too. He got 14%, which I thought was pretty high for someone who's never played the position. Instagram gave Crowder 75%, Reggie Ragland 25%. Justin, who are you giving this one to?
Tate Crowder. Just more exciting, more fun. Drafted him. He's got 3 years of control left versus Reggie Ragland's a one-year deal. And I think that, I mean, that's not part of the coach's decision, but it's part of my decision. If I want to form this guy up, and, you know, maybe he's probably not going to be an interior linebacker number one, but he's a pretty damn good complement to Blake Martinez, and they already have a year of chemistry doing that. And Crowder's just more exciting than Reggie Ragland. And that's what it kind of boils down to me.
If you were just saying, like, hey, they're both the same player from 2020, I'd probably give Ragland the edge. But I'm also betting on Crowder being better. You know, this is only his fourth year playing linebacker. Like, I'm betting on Crowder getting better. And you look at some of the places where Crowder needs to get better. Coverage, it's like, well, he has all the athletic ability to get better in coverage. It's just getting a better feel and getting a high, you know, understanding the game a little better. That's something that rookies get. Missed tackle rate. Like, he had a 16.1 missed tackle rate, which was, you know, which is pretty damn high for a linebacker. And then you can see on the other end, well, Ragland had 6%, which was one of the best in the league. But
yeah, he missed three tackles last year, but, like, all of last year, and he played 50% of the defensive snaps.
But you look at 2018, when Ragland got the most snaps he ever had, so it was a very big sample size, he got a 13% missed tackle rate, you know, so right around that area. So Crowder should get better at that. And if you look at Tate Crowder's missed tackles, 5 of the 10 were in his first 2 games played. You know, 4 in that game against Washington. 4, 2 games where he actually played. He essentially played 8 games last year. So I'm betting on Crowder getting better. I like the kid. I'm a bit, you know, when we took him, you know, I was like, how did this guy fall to freaking the Mr. Irrelevant, let alone the 7th round, the 6th round? I thought he should have been like a 4th, 3rd round pick. So, you know, Ragland. And Ragland's not great in coverage either. Yeah, I think he's a better pass rusher than Crowder. Like, you can actually, like, Ragland's actually got some real pass rush moves, but it's like, how often they're going to be using him to do that? Crowder's more athletic. And you know what? Crowder, in 2020, Crowder played 159 less snaps. He had 5 more tackles than Reggie Ragland. 1 less tackle for a loss. So even as a rookie, like, playing less snaps, he had more production than Reggie Ragland. So I'm betting on Ragland or Crowder getting better. He's put in the work this offseason, where I think Ragland is just who he is at this point.
Yeah. And again, the three more years of control, 2 more years after this year, is big. Like, you drafted this guy in the 7th round. He's Mr. Irrelevant. We're going to talk about it tomorrow on tomorrow's PPP. He's Mr. Irrelevant. And the fact that you could make him a starter for this cheap is insane. But at the same time, you do want to make this team the best that it can be. And you said Ragland isn't great in coverage. I thought that was supposed to be, like, Reggie Ragland's thing. I thought that his strongest point as a player was supposed to be his ability in coverage. And, you know, I thought maybe that would be, I can see that being a good compliment to, like, oh, do you want to take Tate Crowder off the field on passing downs when you want to do have two interior linebacker sets, that is, on a passing down? Then sure, you bring in Reggie Ragland. I thought that was, like, the big thing about him.
No, I think he's more of a... I think he's better at deconstructing blocks in the run game than Crowder is.
Okay. I mean, Pro Football Reference, it's so... The advanced passing stuff for linebackers and safety is so suspect, and you know, you don't exactly know how they're tracking it. Versus corners, it's a lot easier to, like, hey, that makes sense if you allow a catch. But they had him... this is Reggie Ragland... accounting less than 70 yards in coverage, like allowing 70 yards in coverage. Pro Football Focus had him at like 180 yards, which is still pretty good. For 50% of the snaps, if you're allowing 70 yards in coverage, that's pretty darn good. So, you know, Ragland, yeah, I guess he's decent in coverage. So, are we gonna? So we both have Tay Crowder.
Tay Crowder. All right. Next, can you read the ad?
Yes, I was hoping you would throw it to me. We were talking about the Olympics. All of our athletes are in the Olympics, and what I'm hoping that they brought with them, I'm hoping that they brought some Manscaped products. I'm hoping they brought the Lawnmower 4.0. I'm hoping that they brought 9,000 RPM motor. It's powered with 360-degree rotary dual blade systems. I'm hoping that they took their travel pack with them. I'm hoping they even packed some Manscaped underwear. You know, Bobby Skinner, I recently just touched up a little bit. And I hope our athletes in Tokyo, that they're touching up themselves too. Swimmers, you got to do it. You don't want any pubes hanging out. So manscaped.com, and use the promo code GIANTS at checkout. You get 20% off your total order with free shipping. I also just went on some vacations. It was helpful to use some Manscaped too. Manscaped.com, promo code GIANTS, performance package 4.0. You can also get as well. You get the shed travel bag with it. Make sure you use promo code GIANTS at checkout. Thank you, Manscaped.
All right.
You're muted.
All right, I was checking Twitter while you're reading the ad. Okay, got three more, all offense. This is the last one that's kind of interesting. Wide receiver 5. So, Kenny Golladay, Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, Kadarius Toney are locks to make the roster. None of the other wide receivers are. Twitter, John Ross got 53% of the vote. Dante Pettis got 28%. Seals got 10%. Mac got 9%. On Instagram, John Ross got 70%. Dante Pettis got 30%. I will say, there's still a David Seals army out there. And I root for David Seals. You know, he's got the size. Like, he can do different things. But I just don't see it happening with John Ross and Dante Pettis on the roster. Which is fun. If you tweet about David Seals, one, there's a lot of supporters. There's somebody who I think he's related to him, whose name searches David Seals and will say, like, he's a better jump ball receiver than Kenny Golladay.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm here for the take, though.
But just tweet about David Seals. Like, okay, if... No, I can't do this because people won't listen. You know, not all my followers listen to podcasts. But if you're just a random person, be like, I don't know why... The Giants still have David Seals on the roster. He sucks. That person, he has like kind of like a Justin Bieber haircut. He'll come and tell you how good David Seals actually is. Anyways. I'm going Dante Pettis. And I hope they keep 6 wide receivers because I do want John Ross on the roster. But, you know, there's only really a guarantee of 5. I like what I saw at the end of the year from Dante Pettis. You know, I think he's more reliable. John Ross, he's got the speed. He can stretch a field. But you know what? He has, like, really bad drop issues. Really bad drop issues. You know, he's had injury stuff. Like, so I'm just going Dante Pettis. I kind of like Dante Pettis a little more than John Ross. I think he can be more trusted. Wide receiver 5. It's like, how many reps are you going to be getting? Like, I want to be able to trust you on those. I don't know if I can trust John Ross.
Mr. Brownstone with the fun fact. Did you know that David Sills was committed to USC at 13 to play quarterback?
I remember that the day that on SportsCenter that happened.
I feel like that's not as like cliche of a fun fact as, did you know that Blake Martinez, can't wait to say this on his PPP, did you know that Blake Martinez built a gym with his father or his grandfather in his garage?
Yeah, thank God.
Did you know that?
No, he just, well, the Pokemon took it over.
Oh, did you know Blake Martinez like Pokemon? Yeah, I'm going with John Ross. He's the, again, similar for Tay Crowder, he's the most exciting. Like, John Ross is the player that excites me the most, and, you know, I special teams, my butt, you know, blah, 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 this, that. Maybe he could return the kicks. There you go.
But he's John played Ross zero is the special guy, team snaps in the NFL.
I love that. still give me John Ross. He is the guy that excites me the most, and he's probably the most unconventional out of the three in terms of, hey, maybe you can fill a role doing this. Maybe you can, like, block. Right, wasn't Austin, Austin, oh yeah, oh, yeah, Austin Mack.
He's a good, they would bring him in on the three tight end sets.
That would be his job. You knew when Austin Mack went in motion inside the line, inside like the tight end, like maybe right by the guard's ass or the tackle's ass. Oh boy, you knew a run play was coming, and you knew it every freaking time. Jason Garrett.
I kind of think Austin Mack might be on the team just for that. Over, like, I think, like, I could see us cutting Dante Pettis and John Ross for Austin Mack and people being pissed.
Well, just for that, just to put him in motion. And then guess what? That counts as motion at the snap. Isn't that crazy? That doing that, even though you know a run play is coming, that, hey, I guess that counts as motion at the snap, Jason Garrett. Anyway, John Ross, he is the most exciting. You know, he granted wide receiver 5. If everybody does stay healthy, which that never happens, Sterling Shepard has only seen more than 65% of the snaps twice in his career. But if everybody stays healthy, then John Ross doesn't have that much of a role. But if he is in the game, then guess what? Go over the top, beat some safeties, beat some corners, and make a big play. So John Ross for me for wide receiver 5.
If Dante Pettis wasn't like some, like if he wasn't as athletic as he was, I'd be like, screw it. Give me the super freak and John Ross. But Dante Pettis is like a pretty athletic player. You know, he can go up and get it. He's got good straight line speed. Where John Ross is essentially just straight line speed at this point with a bad case of the. I mean, he makes Evan Engram look like Kyle Rudolph with the way he drops the ball. You know, Pettis has been in, you know, didn't miss any OTAs. Ross was, you know, was a little missing from practice here and there. So I like Dante Pettis. I'm giving him the slight edge over John Ross. College teammates. What a freaking. Washington was putting up points. Like, I remember I looked up their stats together and they were just unreal.
Pettis deserves some credit for how quickly he did kind of come along, and he made some nice plays in Baltimore and Dallas. You know, it's hard to make plays against a good Baltimore secondary, and you know that was a big game in Dallas, and he made one of the toughest catches of the season. I know the Golden Tate catch in the back of the end zone to almost tie the game, or you know, to come back in the fourth quarter, that was a really good one. But that was a really tough catch, and you know, good job getting in the end zone by Dante Pettis. So, you know, if he has a good camp, I may get on the Dante Pettis train as well.
I hope we keep six. Keep six wide receivers, and hell, hope we keep 7 because I like David Sills. But that's just that's just not going to happen.
That's wild.
You know,
let's just have 6 offensive linemen. Nate Solder will be the only backup offensive lineman.
Well, speaking of Nate Solder, right tackle. Twitter, Matt Parrott got 87% of the vote. Nate Solder got 13%. Instagram, Matt Parrott got 74%. Nate Solder got 26%. That means than one in every 4 Instagram users thinks Nate Solder should start. That's crazy to me that you like.
They don't listen to our show.
Over 1 out of 4 Instagram users thinks Nate Solder should start.
How do I identify that you don't listen to Talking Giants? You vote for Nate Solder in a poll to start.
26% of our Instagram followers don't listen to Talking Giants. Listen, it's a talk. I think I've said this line a few times this offseason. If Nate Solder wins this job, it means Parrott's a disaster. I mean, we cannot afford this, you know. Like, Matt Parrott being on that pup list was the only one that scared me. It's like, oh no. It's like, we cannot afford Matt. Now, granted, there may be no real injury. He could be practicing tomorrow. But we need Matt Parrott. Nate Solder is not good. He's another year older. I don't think a year of rest takes him from horrible to not horrible. So, Matt.
A year of rest in a year where he kind of admitted that he wasn't conditioning a ton. Him going back to a position that he hasn't played in since Super Bowl 46. Think about that. Yeah.
can't have it.
No. Nope. I have the only note that I have in my computer. Granted, I'm not as much of a rampant note taker as Bobby Skinner is sometimes, but I have in my notes Matt Parrott or bust. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
what it really is. And even Matt Parrott scares the crap out of me, too. Like, I don't know what he's going to be this year. Like, he's got some stuff he had to fix. I hope he did. All right, this one, fullback. This is a true competition. I don't think there's a more true competition than this. Fullback. We'll finish off with it. Twitter gave Elijah Penny 75%, Cullen Gillespie at 25%. Instagram, Penny 78%, Gillespie at 22%. Penny just does more than Cullen. And he became, like, he's gotten better as a run. Like, this is year four of Elijah Penny being on the Giants. He low-key is one of the longest tenured New York Giants. He's gotten better as a blocker. Where last year at this point, I was like, man, I wish I would have brought in a real fullback. There was a guy named George Aston out of Pitt that was on the team. I was rooting for him to win it out. Elijah Penny, he's a better receiver, a better runner. And then if you want to bring up special teams, I mean, Penny played 60% of the special team snaps. Cullen played 64% in 2019 when he was healthy with Houston. And even, like, you can make an argument that Penny's a better blocker than Cullen, too. I mean, Cullen, he had some more highlight blocks, but he also whiffs a little bit, too. So, now Penny's been used a lot more, but I'm giving Penny this. Penny is my fullback. I like Cullen. He seems like a cool dude, but I'm going Penny.
Now, Cullen's a little weird for me.
Huh?
A little weird.
I mean, weird, you know. I just bought a shirt that says stay weird. So, I like, you know, I always say if you're not weird, you're weird.
Elijah Penny's fun on Twitter. Blown us off a few times. For an interview.
Just really putting all his business out there.
I am. I'm putting out Cullen Weird. Elijah Penny blew us off. Yeah, I'm going to go Elijah Penny too. I do care about the fullback. Now I'm not as fully invested in it as you are. I like the fact that Elijah Penny, he really did improve last year. And the continuity makes him kind of an easy fit. And like, hey, you know, unless you're going to get your ass absolutely beat in camp, let's have you back here for another year and, you know, keep the continuity going and rock and roll. Was Elijah Penny here for Saquon's rookie year? Yes, he was.
Because Shane Smith got cut after Dallas week two.
There you go. So
I was very butthurt about it because Shane Smith was my first friend on the Giants.
He is. He's a friend of the program.
More catches in preseason, Elijah Penny or Cullen Gillespie?
The fact that you're asking this question means that it's probably the reverse of what the conventional thinking is, so I'm going to go Gillespie.
I'm going Gillespie, too. It's the preseason. The backups are going to want to check down to the fullback more than, like, Mike Glennon and Daniel Jones will. Like, I see Clayton Thorson being like, let me make sure I get this out quick to the fullback. So I'm going to go Cullen. How about that?
Yes.
So what are the things we need to keep track of? Who has more preseason catches, and does Aaron Robinson play 10 snaps week one?
Yeah, I think those are the two.
Those
big
are the
takeaways.
Two big things you need to keep, remember from this show is those. Actually, the Aaron Robinson one is actually low key important, so maybe we shouldn't make light of that.
I'm very confident in that. Very confident.
I'm very confident in it too. So how about that?
Hmm.
I'm confident Arch Stapleton is going to be on the show on Friday. Like I said, we're going to start rolling out some interviews. Arch Stapleton will be on Friday, which he will be at camp. So we're going to be finding out who's, you know, playing with personnel grouping, even though the Giants want to keep everything hush. We're going to figure some stuff out for you guys. I am so excited. Camp is here. Enjoy it. It's the most, like, positive time of the year for football. So let's have some fun. We appreciate you guys. Justin, you got anything before we roll out?
We're going to be talking a lot in code. Like, because we can't say who's starting here, who's playing where.
I kind of want to find out and just tweet it. Because, like, I'm not a beat reporter. You can't hold me to those rules.
But, no, we're going to be, with Art, you know, we can't throw Art under the bus. So we may have to, like, talk in code. We may have to make a code sheet and then share it with everybody. Like, oh, when we say green, we're talking about Nate Solder. Or red, Nate Solder. No go. When we say green, we say Matt Parr.
We made it pretty obvious last year. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Very excited. We appreciate you guys. We'll be back. Well, tomorrow we have PPP. So it's not even we'll be back on Friday. We'll be back PPPs all week. Andrew Thomas and Tay Crowder tomorrow. Devontae Booker and Blake Martinez the day after that. We appreciate you guys. See ya when we see ya. Until then, let's go Big Blue.